Let me introduce you to William. William is 32 years old. He's got a fairly decent job, and he just bought himself a flat in Tunbridge Wells. But William is a bit of a worrier. Here he is worrying at his new kitchen table. William particularly worries about the future, and one of his biggest worries is that he'll never have enough money to retire. Retirement is years away, but that doesn't stop it from keeping him up at night. Then one day, completely out of the blue, William gets a phone call. It turns out that his long-lost great-aunt, well, she died a few weeks ago, and in her will, she left everything to him. Overnight, William's bank balance goes from £5,000 to £5 million. He can't believe it. His retirement is now secure. But then he starts to worry. What should he do with the money? What if he invests it and his investments tank? What if he doesn't invest it and then £5 million, well, it's not worth anything by the time he needs to retire? What if someone steals his money? Poor William ends up even more worried and stressed than he was before. And our question this evening is this: is that what the Christian life is like? Have we been gifted this amazing, ginormous inheritance, but now it's up to us to hold on to it for the next 20, 40, 60 years? Are we left constantly worrying that it might be stolen away from us, or that we might do something stupid and lose it? Well, if you were here last Sunday, you'll know that we're spending a couple of evenings in the book of Psalms. And that's pretty handy for me because we spent our roots weekend away in the Psalms. And what we found that was really interesting about the Psalms is it turns out they haven't been arranged in chronological order or alphabetical order or even just into some random order. But instead, the book of Psalms has been arranged in a way that means there's a storyline that runs the whole way through it. And it's a story all about the coming of God's anointed king and his eternal kingdom. So in Psalm 2, verse 6, in the introduction to the book, the Lord says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." And then as we move through the rest of the Psalms, we follow that story of God's anointed king. And our psalm for this evening, Psalm 125, well, it's quite near the end of that story. So by this point, God's people, they're ready and waiting. They're holding on to God's promise of a king. And they're waiting for the day when God's king will come, bringing with him God's eternal kingdom. But how secure are God's people as they wait? Well, Psalm 125 says that those who trust in the Lord have eternal security. And that's our first point this evening. Those who trust in the Lord have eternal security. In fact, they're as secure as Mount Zion itself. There's no such thing as an insecure mountain. And by that, I don't mean that mountains are all really sure of themselves, self-confident, but that they're firm, they're fixed, they're permanent. A mountain isn't going anywhere. If a mountain's in your way, you can go round it, you can go over it, you might even be able to tunnel through it, but you can't move it. And that's the image that we get here in verse 1 of those who trust in the Lord. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Those who trust in the Lord are immovable. And Mount Zion is the most immovable of all the mountains. Not because of its great size, it's not even one-tenth of the height of Mount Everest, but because Mount Zion is the city of God and his anointed king. The Lord has set his king on Zion. You see, one day Mount Everest will be no more, but the Lord has decreed that Mount Zion will be here forever, and so will those who trust in him. So those who trust in the Lord have eternal security. And in verse 2 we find out why. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 125 is one of 15 songs of ascent. You can see that written at the top of the psalm. And these songs, they would have been sung by Jewish pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. And as they entered Jerusalem, they would have been able to look out and see all the mountains surrounding their city, securing it, protecting it from enemies. What they couldn't see visibly was that the Lord was surrounding them. But they recognized in Psalm 124 that we looked at last week, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then we would have been swallowed up alive when the people rose up against us. But the Lord had been on their side, protecting them, surrounding them. And in verse 2, we see that he's going to continue to surround his people into eternity, from this time forth and forevermore. Their security, it doesn't come from having a big army or a brilliant human leader, or even from being surrounded by mountains. Their security comes from the one in whom they put their trust. Their security comes from the Lord. Well, verse 3 is probably the trickiest bit of the song to understand. For starters, a scepter, if you didn't know, is like a big golden stick that belongs to the ruling king or queen. Queen Elizabeth, she's got a scepter. You don't see her waving it around very often. I think it's kept in the Tower of London. But anyway, here in verse 3, they're singing that the rule of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. But the only problem with that is that, well, for most of Jewish history, the scepter of wickedness has been resting on the land allotted to the righteous. I don't know if you can, no, you definitely can't see that. But in this timeline, you can see all of the kingdoms that have ruled over Jerusalem for the last 4,000 years. And there's a lot of wickedness. So if you can see the colours, there's a little blue bit of David's united Israel and then Judah. And then you've got all the yellow of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, the Persians. There's a big yellow bit in the middle, which is the Roman Empire. And then you get loads of green, different Muslim kingdoms and empires over the last 1,500 years. So how on earth can the Jewish pilgrims sing that the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous? Did they just mumble that bit so that they didn't look silly? Well, of course they didn't. If anything, they probably sung that bit the loudest, because verse 3 is the very heart of the song, the promise that everything else is built on. They're singing about what they're waiting for. Wicked kings and empires may continue to rule over the current earthly Jerusalem, but they won't get anywhere near the land allotted to the righteous, to the true inheritance of God's people. They can't see it, but it's as if the Lord has placed himself like a giant dome over his people and their future inheritance. The land allotted to the righteous is kept safe, and the Lord's people are secure. They're surrounded by the Lord himself. And we find a very similar idea in the first chapter of 1 Peter, which is why Jill read that out for us as well. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, which is up on the screen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those who trust in Jesus have been born again to a living hope. We're looking forward, waiting in hope for our inheritance. An inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and is kept in heaven for us. And we too are being kept, being guarded by God's power through faith for that salvation. We're totally safe, totally secure. As Christians, when we look out at the world around us, we might not always feel that way. We might not feel totally secure. But remember that the Old Testament Jewish believers, well, they probably didn't feel that secure either. The physical land of Jerusalem, it was constantly being attacked and captured and ruled over by wicked kings. According to Wikipedia, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. But Wikipedia doesn't have the whole story. Because the reality is, if our trust is in Jesus, well, we're eternally secure. And our inheritance, the New Jerusalem, is secure too. The scepter of wickedness shall not rest there over Jesus' kingdom. Just like it says in Psalm 2, which is on the screen, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them,'" speaking of the wicked kings and rulers of the earth, "'you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel.'" That might be ringing a few bells if you were here this morning. But Jesus, God's anointed king, is going to totally destroy the scepter of wickedness. It simply shall not exist on the land allotted to the righteous. Lest, second half of verse 3, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. That's the reason for all of this. That's the reason why God's doing it. Well, we remember what happened in Genesis 3, right? Back in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered the world for the very first time. The righteous did stretch out their hands to do wrong. And because of that, God's people were kicked out of the land, banished from God's presence, lest they reach out their hands, take from the tree of life, and live forever. Well, Psalm 125 looks forward to a day when God's people will be back in the land, surrounded by God's presence, and unable to stretch out their hands to do wrong. A time when sin and evil and wickedness will have been banished once and for all. If we trust in Jesus, we have eternal security from this time forth and forevermore. And that should fill us with confidence, just like those Jewish pilgrims would have been filled with confidence as they sung Psalm 125, looking out at all the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. In fact, those who trust in Jesus can have eternal confidence. Those who trust in Jesus can have eternal confidence because our confidence is in Jesus. I was trying to think of an illustration to get all of this across that didn't involve me having to tell you that I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians. But I couldn't think of one, so here we go. In season 11, episode 5, Khloe Kardashian goes to Mexico to visit this rescue center for lions and tigers. And she spends the morning playing with loads of cute baby cubs. And then the guy who runs the place, a guy called Eduardo, well, he asks her if she wants to go into the big enclosure. Naturally, she's pretty wary. But he promises her that the animals won't harm her because he will keep her safe. As Khloe enters the cage, it's no good her trusting in her massive bodyguard, who to his credit did actually try and go in there with her, but wasn't allowed. And it's no good Khloe trusting in her own ability to charm tigers or run away from leopards. Her only hope is to trust in Eduardo and her and his promise to keep her safe. Here's a picture. So they both walk into the cage and everything is okay for the first 10 seconds. And then some of the lions start getting a bit pushy. And this leopard comes skipping over in a rather sinister looking way. And Eduardo ends up completely surrounding Khloe up against the side of the cage. He's surrounding her because he's promised to keep her safe. He's not going to let the lions or the iffy-looking leopard touch her. And he's not going to let her do anything stupid either. Eduardo's promised that if she trusts him, he'll get her back out of the cage in one piece. And it's his promise that gives Chloe the confidence to believe she's going to make it home. Well, the same is true for those of us that trust in Jesus. Our eternal confidence doesn't come from Giles or from Dick. They haven't promised to save us, to surround us, to guard us. Our trust is in Jesus. And we mustn't place any trust in the fact that we came to the prayer and praise meeting this week, or that we help out in the ark, or that our quiet times have been going a bit better recently. Our confidence is in what Jesus has done, not in our own works. We're only verse 4, those who are good, those who are upright in their hearts, because we're in Jesus. Well, I think verse 4 is here to wrap up verses 1 to 3. Those who trust in the Lord, they're asking God to do exactly what he's promised to do, to surround them, to protect them, to guard them, as they eagerly wait for their inheritance. And then we get to verse 5, which at first glance appears to knock over all of the eternal security and confidence we've just built up over the last 4 verses. What if somewhere down the line I turn aside to crooked ways? Have I then thrown it all away? Have I lost my inheritance? Is it up to me to keep trusting in Jesus for the next 20, 40, 60 years? Well, fortunately, I don't think that's quite what it's saying. It looks like verse 5 is actually the opposite of verses 1 and 2. So those who trust in the Lord, verse 1, the Lord will surround them. The Lord will keep surrounding them so that they can't be moved and they will abide forever. But those verse 5 who turn aside to crooked ways, those who don't trust in the Lord, well, the Lord will lead them away with the evildoers. Don't get me wrong, there is a warning here in verse 5. We must put our trust in Jesus. If you put your trust in anything other than Jesus, well, then you have no eternal security. You can have no eternal confidence. Instead of actively surrounding you and keeping you, the Lord will one day actively lead you away from himself. Eternal security and eternal confidence are only found in the Lord Jesus. But if your trust is in the Lord Jesus, well, then you have absolutely nothing to fear. It's as if the Lord has placed himself like a giant dome over you and your future inheritance. You cannot be moved because the Lord is surrounding you. The Lord is keeping you from this time forth and forevermore. Peace be upon Israel.